I want to back up and begin at verse 1 this morning. And we'll read down through verse 9. I preached on the choosing of four out of this passage of Scripture, and then I backed up and preached on the temptation of Christ. Now we're going to back up a little further and start where it began. This morning, Lord, being our helper. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, in verse 1, says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. And preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to be in your house this morning. We thank you for the good time in Sunday school. Lord, I pray now as we gather together here for this auditorium service, Lord, I pray that you just ever help us to gather our minds in from the perishing things of the world. We thank you for each and every one that's here. Lord, we thank you for those that's watching by the way of the webcast. Lord, we thank you for the good revival services you gave us on last Sunday through Tuesday night. Lord, the good preaching. Lord, the good singing. Lord, and I pray now as we come to this point and place today, Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, just to yield our hearts, our minds to you for just a little bit. Lord, I pray that you'd give us liberty to preach. Lord, I pray that you stir our hearts around the Word of God. Lord, I pray for that when it may be here lost, it may be listening by the way of the webcast. Lord, I pray, sweet Holy Spirit, this morning that you'd prick hearts. I pray that that sinner this nearest eternity might see their lost condition, their need to be saved, Lord, and call upon you before this service is over today. Lord, I pray now that you'd have your way, be with other churches that's gathered together, men of God that's preaching this morning. Lord, I pray that you just ever take the Word of God and prick hearts. Lord, surely and truly we're living as it was in the days of Noah as we look around. People's hearts are far away from you, Lord. And I pray now that you take the Word of God and prick hearts. Show men their lost condition, their need of a Savior, and help us, and we'll give you glory and praise for all that you do and accomplish. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to preach for just a little bit, Lord, being my helper, on the beginning of the gospel. The beginning of the gospel. It says right there in verse 1, said, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we've read the stories of Jesus and his earthly ministry and the people that were healed, the people that came to Christ during those days, and we find that it all began somewhere. If you get to the first gospel, the gospel of Matthew, and then you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all give similar accounts of some of the same incidents that took place when Jesus was here. We know that between Malachi and Matthew, there was 400 silent years where the Lord hadn't spoke to Israel, the Jewish people. But it come a time when He would again speak to them. I'm glad that God is still speaking to you and I today in this age of grace. The trouble is that people are not listening much. And that's the way it was similar, I believe, in the days of John. People weren't listening. God had silenced the prophets at that time before John came on the scene. And I guess people probably was glad to hear from God once again. And we went up to the Ark Museum this week and walked through there, and we seen the story of the Ark and of Noah, and how God used Noah to build the Ark for the saving of his house. And we know that Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years before God shut him in that ark and saved his family. And what the Bible tells us is, it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I believe that in the days of Noah, people weren't listening either. I believe they weren't listening. The Bible, they were marrying, giving in marriage, and different things. Life was just going on as it is today. And we find a lot of people today that's not listening, they're not looking for God, and they're not not expecting their life to ever end, seems like. I mean, we get to the point and place that as we go through life, we just think that things are going to continue on as they've always been, and we're not looking at the fact that one of these days, if you go out there in that cemetery, you'll find graves of people that no doubt some of them thought they had their whole life ahead of them. And probably some of the people in the days when John the Baptist come on the scene preaching, they hadn't heard from God in a long time, in 400 years. And yet we find here as John comes on the scene and he begins to carry out the work that God had chosen him to do, the work that God had prophesied for him to do, we find that the Jews here, that they were in bad shape. They hadn't heard from God in some 400 years. I wonder this morning, how long has it been since you heard from God? Hey, how long has it been since the sweet Holy Spirit pricked your heart and worked in your life? How long has it been since we went into a service and really felt the presence of the Holy Spirit and heard from God? Well, we find the people here when the beginning of the gospel, when it started and when it began to take place, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We see, first of all, we see the messenger that came on the scene. As I've already mentioned, the Jews needed some good news badly because God hadn't spoken to them for 400 years. And these years were terrible years. Hey, I'm glad I've heard God speak a few times in my life. I'm glad that I've been in some church services where God moved as a little boy. I remember going into church service, the man of God would get up and he'd preach. He'd preach judgment was coming. He'd preach hell hot and heaven sweet, and the voice of God would be heard by sinners. But we don't see much of that anymore. We don't sense the convicting power of the Holy Spirit anymore in our services like we have in times past. And it's sad today. Hey, when we see the multitudes of people that's in the valley of decision in their life. They've heard the gospel, but they've never trusted Jesus as their Savior. You may be sitting here this morning, and maybe you've heard the gospel many times, but you've shut up your ears to the gospel. And don't get like the people of the Jews here, that they haven't heard the voice of God for over 400 years, and then here comes a man on the scene. The promised land had dwindled in size here and importance. A pagan Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, now ruled. Hey, but the good news came at last. John the Baptist was the voice with the good news. God had promised that a messenger would come. And I'm glad that God's given us the promise today that when the messenger comes, that you have a choice to make. And just as sure as John the Baptist, he came on the scene, we find that he was prophesied of there in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible said, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, the Bible tells us of another prophecy. He said, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Can I tell you that Jesus is coming back this morning? Are you ready to go? Have you heard the voice of the Lord speak to your heart? Hey, that you're lost, that you need Jesus as your Savior? We find that the messenger here, he was prophesied of. Then we find that he was provided in the person here of John the Baptist. In verses 3 and 4 there in chapter 1 again, the Bible said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. We see that he was prophesied of, but he was provided in the person of John the Baptist. You remember the story of Jesus, Mary, when she went over to Elizabeth's house there, as she was great with child, Elizabeth was with child, and when John the Baptist got in the presence of Jesus, that he leaped in his mother's womb. I mean, he sensed the presence of the Holy One. Even that ought to take care of the thought of where does life begin. Hey, those two children in those womb there, the Lord Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, and John the Baptist, we find that God was preparing a messenger to come in the person of John the Baptist. What if his mother had aborted him? But in those days, it was special to carry a child, especially if that child was given of God for a specific person. I believe it said that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. In those days, the Spirit came upon men. Today, those that are sealed, he indwells men. If you're saved by the grace of God this morning, hey, the Spirit of God has taken up His abode in you. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it gets to the point even a saved person that's indwelt by the Spirit, they can get so cold and indifferent, they can't hear the voice of God. I don't want to get to the point and place where I can't hear the voice of God this morning. If the Spirit is speaking to you to draw closer this morning, hey, it'd be a good time to make up your mind. If the Spirit of God is pricking your heart and telling you that this is the day that you need to move to get saved, you need to move, friend. This might be your day. We see the messenger, who was John the Baptist. Ants crawling around up here. We see not only the messenger, but we see his mandate there in verses 2 and 3. It said, "As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight." In ancient times, most everybody's heard this before, but in ancient times, kings often sent people ahead of them to prepare the way for their coming. The forerunner had two primary duties. First, he was to make certain that the roads were passable. There were to be no delays when the king passed through. He was to have a clear and open route through the kingdom. Secondly, the forerunner was to let the people know that the king was coming. He was to go along the route before the king came through, and he was to tell the people to get ready for the king. John the Baptist fulfilled both these duties seen in the ancient forerunner. He came to this world with a divine mission. John was given a heavenly mandate which he fulfilled while he was here on earth. Someone said that John the Baptist was God's spiritual bulldozer. He came to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ to come on the scene. We see the preparation that was made. Hey, John cleared the way for the coming of the Lord by appealing directly to the people. The Jewish religious leaders had long ago forgotten the common man. John came preaching to the people, calling on them to repent because of the Lord. The King was coming to deliver His people. Can I say, if there's ever been a day and hour since the days of John the Baptist, hey, that preparation needs to be made for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords to come back? It's the day and hour in which we live in. I read some words, the first coming of Jesus, there was a lot of demonic activity in the land. And you read through the Gospels and you'll see that demonic activity. Mary Magdalene, in whom seven devils was in. The maniac of Gadara that was in the graveyard, in the tombs, and he was always cutting himself. No man could tame him. There was a lot of demonic activity. Those devils that was cast out of that maniac of Gadara, hey, they wanted to run, go into that herd of swine, and they went into 200 herd of swine. They ran violently down the hill and into the ocean and choked in the ocean. And then the people, they come, they wanted Jesus to depart out of their coast. Can I say Jesus is coming today? There needs to be preparation made, and the preaching needs to continue today. We need preaching like never before. Hey, we need preparation made for Jesus to come back, and that men, women, boys, and girls can hear the message of the second coming of Christ. Hey, that they need to prepare their hearts. They need to receive Christ as their Savior, because when He comes, it's going to be too late. Too late. Are you ready this morning? Has there ever been a time and a place in your life, hey, where the Holy Spirit pricked your heart and showed you, hey, reproved you and showed you that you were a lost sinner and you've taken your place as a sinner and received Christ into your heart as Savior? We see the preparation. We see the proclamation. John was a lone voice against dead legalism of the Jews. He was a hard preacher in a dark day, and God used him to touch a generation. I believe it's going to take straight preaching. Hey, we beat around the bush long enough. We need to get back to preaching. Hey, we need to roll up our sleeves, take the Word of God, and preach repentance to this lost and dying world. We've preached a shallow, evangelistically a message in this day and hour that we're living in. People know nothing of repentance and of change of life and of change of mind. John the Baptist preached during a time when the Jewish religion had become nothing more than dead orthodoxy. And can I say we're there today? Our independent Baptist church is about the point and place where the Southern Baptist was when the independents pulled out of that movement back yonder. We're embracing modern versions of the Bible. We're embracing contemporary music. Hey, we're failing to preach separation, that men, women, boys, and girls need to separate to the cause of Christ and live holy and consecrated life and to be different from this world. Where did I get to? We're living in similar days today. Many churches have abandoned the great doctrines of the Bible to preach either a message rooted in humanism or legalism. People are either never challenged regarding their sins, or they are beaten down with the Word of God. There's one thing of preaching, there's another thing of beating people down and beating them over the head and putting them on a guilt trip about their sins and the things that they're involved in. There's a great need today for men of God in our day who will stand up and open their Bibles and open their mouths and preach the Word of God. Jesus is coming soon. I wonder, where are the forerunners who are preparing the way of the Lord and proclaiming His return? Our mandate today is that same one as John the Baptist had received. Hey, we're to preach the Word of God. Paul told young Timothy, he said, preach the Word of God. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering in the doctrine. If there's ever been a time that we need to preach, it's today. Back in the early times, early days of maybe the 50s and 60s, men began to get a hold and really preach the second coming of Christ. You hardly ever hear people preach the second coming of Christ anymore. But friend, let me tell you, hey, just as sure as He was coming back then, He's coming today. I've thought about this a lot of time. Used to, men just preach the gospel. Back in the old days, they just preached the gospel. And then God began to open the Scriptures and show the prophecy and the interpretation of the second coming of Christ. If you follow it back, it's probably been around 120 to 150 years when really great light has been shed on the Scriptures of the second coming of Christ. I said this a long time ago, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached for 120 years that judgment was coming. Can I say that we've had Jesus' second coming preached for some 120 years really hard? Maybe the last 175 to 100 years, really stress has been put on the second coming, and people want to know about the second coming, and men of God had preached, but it's sort of tapered off. You don't hear much of it anymore. I wonder why. The Bible said in the last day, scoffers would come and say, where's the sign of His appearing? Hey, we've heard this all of our life, but things continue on as they were. And I had the privilege of hearing a scoffer one day in the bank up at Gainesville. Me and Daddy walked in there, and started witnessing to them, and he said something about Jesus was coming soon. And one of those ladies said, I've heard that since I was a little girl. And I thought, what about that? I read that scoffers would come in the last day. He said, hey, I've heard this all my life, but things are continuing as they are. Can I say, the coming of Christ is short. It's close. If it's today, it's real close. If it's 10 years, it's real close. If it's 50 years, it's still real close. And it don't matter what you think about it and how long it's been and how long you've heard preaching about second coming of Christ, He's coming for you. I believe in the imminent return of Christ. He's coming. He could come at any moment. There's nothing that has to be fulfilled for Jesus to come back and catch His church out of here. The sad thing is, there's a lot of people, hey, that have sat in churches, they've heard this Bible preached, they've heard the second coming preached, and they're still lost in their sins. And they don't know Jesus. Do you know Jesus today? We're living in those days like that. Many churches have abandoned preaching of the Word of God. We want to keep preaching. We want to keep looking. We want to keep that expectant spirit that Jesus is coming. If you ever lose sight of that, did you know if you're really looking for Jesus, it'll regulate how you live? It'll regulate some things that I've been preaching in your life, and you'll see the importance of it. We see not only His mandate, we see the messenger, but we see His method, verses 4 to 5. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. So we see His method. We see John's preaching there in verse 4 said, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. John was the right kind of preacher. Hey, he was the kind of preacher that we need today. He was a preacher that preached repentance. You don't hear much about repentance anymore. He came telling men of the need for that their repentance. His message was a message of confrontation. Can I say that the preaching of repentance is a message of confrontation today? Hey, that we don't hear much of? We have the shallow down, watered down preaching on salvation of just pray this little prayer, repeat these few words. Believe. Place faith. We never hear nothing about repentance. Repentance. A change of mind. A change of mind about sin. A change of mind about self. A change of mind about the Savior. Of His holiness. Of His death. His burial and resurrection. Of what He did for you and what He did for me. John came confronting sin and calling on people to repent. And that word repentance just basically means a change of mind that results in a change of action. You ain't nobody ever got saved didn't repent. Repentance and faith go hand in hand. They're like Siamese twins. You can't separate one from the other. Have you truly repented? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Did you repent? Did you change your mind about your sin, what your sin was doing? We see John's preaching. He was a preacher of repentance. He said over there, one place, bring therefore fruit, meat for repentance. Bring therefore fruit, meat for repentance. We see John's preaching. That's the kind of preaching we need today. Hey, we need some John the Baptist that'll come on the scene preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We see not only John's preaching, but we see John's practice there in verse first part of verse 4. It said John did baptize in the wilderness. John did something else that was unusual in his day. He baptized Jews. People in that part of the world had been practicing baptism for a long time. And when a Gentile became a Jewish convert, that person would baptize themselves as a symbol of their changed life. Baptism was not new, hey, the way that John used it, the way that John used it, it was. John didn't baptize people to make them right with God. The phrase preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin does not mean that people were being baptized to have their sins forgiven. They were being baptized because their sins had been forgiven. They went to John and were immersed into the River Jordan to declare publicly that their lives had been changed by the power of God. They were baptized to give glory to God who had forgiven their sins and made them whole. In other words, this baptism was about a change of life. And just as sure as John preached the baptism of repentance, if there's ever been a time we need to preach the baptism of repentance today, we need to preach repentance once again. We need to preach that men need to repent of their sin, accept Jesus as their personal Savior. And then they don't get baptized to get forgiven of their sins. They get baptized because they have been forgiven. And they're identifying with Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And when a person goes down into that watery grave, that old man has died. That new man has come forth. You can baptize people all day, though, if they haven't repented their sins and trust Jesus as their Savior. Hey, they're still just as lost as they ever were. But when we see that person go down into that watery grave and come up forth, it speaks of a changed life, a changed individual. We see John's practice. We see John's power there in verse 5. We're told that many of the people living in that region came to John the Baptist to be baptized. These people made a break with their past and were changed by the power of God. Can I say this morning, if you've been saved and you trust Jesus as your Savior, hey, that there was a power that changed you from the inside out, and it's unexplainable. We can't explain what took place at the new birth. Hey, we just know that there's a change, there's a new desire, hey, there's a new outlook on life and what's expected of us. The reason it's so hard for some people to change is because they've never been changed from the inside. They've made professions. They've been dunked down at the creek or in the baptistry, but in essence, they've never received Christ as their Savior. They've never repented of their sins. That's why they're so hard to preach to sometimes. That's why they swell up when you begin to preach against sin and about their sin. We don't preach against sin just to make people mad. We preach against sin, hey, because it's affecting their lives and they're not bringing glory and honor to Christ. We see His method. Then we see number four, we see His manner. His manner. His manner. Verse 6 said, "And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey." We see his fashion. John didn't wear the fine robes that the Pharisees and the Sadducees wore. He didn't gravitate toward the finer things in life. His clothing was rough as his message. He was a man of the desert, and he dressed like a man of the desert. He was out of step in his fashion issue. We see his fashion. He dressed like a prophet. Elijah the prophet, when he come on the scene, he was identifiable. We find preachers today, they're more concerned about their manner and what they look like than they are their message that they're preaching. We see some that's out of step with what's expected of a man of God today. And we wonder why. What's wrong with our society today? What's wrong with our churches today? We see his manner. We see his fashion. We see his food. He shunned the fine foods of the palace and ate the foods of a desert dweller. He got his honey out of rocks and lived on such things as he could trust the Lord to provide. Today we find preachers today more concerned with their salary and what the people's going to pay them than they are with the souls of the people that they're preaching to. John wasn't like that. He wasn't concerned about his fashion. He wasn't concerned about his food. He knew who was taking care of him. He came out eating locust and wild honey, what the Lord could provide. He was a common man who didn't seek after the allurements and attractions of this world. We've watered down this thing so today that I guess the word to use would be pathetic. It's pathetic. This thing is watered down. We're so worried about allurements and attractions for people. Instead of the power of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit, what we need is the power of God in our service. We need men, women, boys, and girls, hey, that's filled with the Spirit of God. Hey, that when sinners come through those doors back there, that the Spirit of God can convict them and show them their lost condition, their need of a Savior. We're too worried about the things of this world. We see John was a man who was satisfied with the basics of life. Preachers today get into ministry because of the... it's been glorified so. A lot of them got jets that they fly from place to place. The Jesus that they're preaching is not the Jesus of this Bible. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall live godly in this present world shall suffer persecution." Some of the best people I've ever known was poor people. They didn't have nothing. Some of the best preachers I know, hey, they didn't have big congregations. They didn't have a lot of money coming in every week. Hey, but they had the power of God on their lives. Them old mountain preachers like Rance Cain. Hey, he knew what the moving of the Holy Ghost was. Them old preachers like Brother Sammy Allen, I was telling them the other day, there's no telling, Miss Ruby, there's no telling how much money he's ever took up in a services. And I promise you, he'll nearly die a pauper. He lives in a good house. He's got what he needs. He always had good clothes to wear. A good car to drive in. He'd drive in vehicles till they had 300,000 and 400,000 miles on them. He'd always say, "You know how many miles on that Buick out there? Just 350,000. Or that Ford Excursion that they were driving around. It had over 400,000 last count, I believe I had of it. They weren't buying new vehicles and jet planes to fly from place to place. They weren't worried about that kind of stuff. Now, he'd get your money, but he'd get it for the ministry or get it for somebody else that needed it. I've seen him just, at the end of a service, just take up $200, just give it to somebody that was there. His point was to get you to see that your money wasn't everything. If God's got your heart, He can get your money. John's manner was as unusual as his message. John the Baptist was an odd man even in his own day. Imagine how this man must have appeared to the people who saw him. He was a Nazarite. That means that his hair and his beard had never been trimmed. He stepped out of the wilderness dressed in the rough garments of a prophet. He came to the people of Israel with the same spirit of confrontation that dwelt in Elijah 800 years earlier. He came preaching with power. John came with a strange appearance. He came with a strong message. He was out of step with his time, but God was with him. God used John the Baptist in an amazing way to carry out a powerful ministry. If John can teach us anything, he teaches us that we don't have to fit in with this world. He teaches us that it's all right to be different. We can dress different, we can talk different, we can live different. And it doesn't mean that we're weird. It simply means that we have a desire to walk with the Lord and honor Him. It's all right if you don't live as the world lives. It's all right if you don't do the things the world does. It's all right if you don't drink. It's all right if you don't cuss. It's all right if you don't do drugs or run wild. It's all right if you go to church 3 times or more a week, pay your tithes and go to Sunday school and live like a Christian. Hey, it's all right. We should never allow this world to force us into its mold. And so many Christians are forced into its mold. You don't believe me? Just look at their attire. Romans chapter 12, verses 1-2 said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." You want to be received of the Lord? Come out among the world, be separate. Then we see, lastly, we see the message, verse 7-8. It said, "And preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose." I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He didn't preach to build up his name and his reputation. John preached to point people to another one. He preached to point men to Jesus. Hey, that ought to be our purpose and reason for preaching today, is to point men, women, boys, and girls to Jesus. It was the message of a humble servant. John was a bold preacher. He thundered out against sin and called for people to repent. But when he began to talk about Jesus Christ, John became a very humble preacher. He tells the people who heard him preach that compared to Jesus, he was nothing. He was a nobody. He tells them that he isn't even worthy to do the job of the lowest household slave. John says, I'm nothing, but he's everything. John says, I didn't come to call people to me. I came to point people to him. One of the reasons people refuse to deal with their sins, people often compare themselves to the wrong standard. If you look around, you can always find someone who lives worse than you do. We begin to compare ourselves one to another. We might look pretty good up against somebody. But you go to comparing your life to Jesus and to Jesus' life, hey, we'll see exactly what we are, friend. But if you honestly this morning compare your life to Jesus, you see how we fall short of the glory of God in our lives. We see it was a message of a humble servant, but it was a message of a holy Savior. John told them that when Jesus came, he would do a spiritual work in their heart. John wasn't calling people to religion. They had enough of that. John the Baptist was pointing people to a Savior who could save their souls, forgive their sins, and change their lives. Can I say this morning that he can still do that? He can still save your soul. He can change your life. I don't care how bad you might think you are. I don't care how low in sin you may be. Hey, I'm glad that when Jesus pulls you up out of the miry pits of sin, he can set your feet upon a solid rock. He can establish your going, and he can change your life and give you a better life. The message John preached was an unusual message. He didn't preach to gain the favor of men. He didn't preach to grow a great ministry. He didn't preach to attract a crowd. He preached a simple message about a wonderful Savior named Jesus. He preached a simple message about the need for people to deal honestly with their sins. He preached a message that those people needed to hear, and he preached a message that we need to hear today. How is it with your heart today? Do you know Jesus? Has he come into your life? Has he changed your life? Do you know that you know that you know that you've had an encounter with God? You've dealt with your sins? That you're saved and that you're going to heaven? Let's all stand.